If you want to follow along, that parable is actually in Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and then the last part of it is 18 through 23. Crying on the corner, waiting in the rain, I swear I'll never, ever wait again. You gave me your word, but words for you are lies. Darling, in my wildest dreams, I never thought I'd go. Oh, but it's time to let you know, I'm going to harden my heart. I'm going to swallow my tears. I'm going to turn and leave you here. That's from the song, Harden My Heart. Many people do harden their hearts. The reasons are many. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Israel often had it. The Pharisees specialized in it. Not very great company, is it, when we think of people with hard hearts? But that's not me. Can't be. I don't have a hard heart. That's for the Pharisees. Well, we love to apply this to certain people, and it's so easy for us to think of someone who has a hard heart. When we think of someone with a hard heart, we rarely think, that's me. And in Mark 6, there's an interesting story, and Jesus and his disciples, they have tried to disappear into the wilderness for some much-needed R&R, and the crowds find them, and instead of R&R, Jesus spends the whole day ministering to the crowds. And then at the end of the day, they're hungry, and he has to feed them. And he turns that young boy's lunch into enough food to feed thousands, and afterwards there are 12 basketfuls of food left over, enough one for each disciple. And at the end of the day, Jesus makes the disciples get into a boat, and he tells them to cross over to the other side, and he said, I'll meet you on the other side. Now, we're told it's about a two-hour trip by rowing a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And they're about halfway across when it grows dark. The wind has picked up. They're straining at the oars, trying to make headway against the wind. The wind turns into a storm, and it says that several hours later, they're still straining at the oars. It's been several torturous hours in the dark. Now, am I thinking, why didn't they just go turn around and go with the wind? Maybe they're thinking it was just Jesus had told them to go across and they aren't going to give up. But suddenly in the darkness, they see this figure, this ghostly figure, walking across the water, and they think it's a ghost, and so they begin to cry out in fear, and they're terrified, and Jesus tells them not to be afraid, and he gets into the boat, and he calms the storm. And we have these words. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. That's what Scripture says. Now, these were Jesus' chosen 12. They lived with him 24/7. Jesus taught them every day. He saw they saw his miracles. The word of God was being planted in their hearts every day. But it says that their hearts were hard and the word was not able to penetrate and have its effect. They saw the miracles, but that wasn't able to penetrate their heart. They couldn't understand. They didn't understand the implications of what they were seeing and what they're hearing. And we have to understand that these were Jesus' most devoted followers. They loved him. They'd given up everything to follow him. They were as committed as far as you could commit. You could say these were the most devoted of the devoted. They loved him more than anyone else loved him. Yet their hearts were hard. And because their hearts were hard, they couldn't understand the implications of what they were hearing and seeing. And that challenges me. Because if those who loved Jesus the most, who had given up the most, who were the most committed to him, who were still struggling with hard hearts, then could it be that I too struggle with a hard heart? And like them, I don't even see the hardness of my own heart. If you'd gone to the disciples at that point and said, you have a hard heart, they would say, no way. That's not me. I love Jesus. I have a soft heart. Can it be that We can love Jesus and still have a hard heart. And because of my hardness, even while I think I'm doing so well, I'm missing out on what God is wanting to say and do in my life. And it was because of hard hearts that Jesus gave this parable of the sower. So I want us, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this parable. And first of all, I want to say that the parable gives us four settings. Each of those settings represent a condition of a person's heart. There's the hard path, which is hard heart, the shallow soil that's thinly covering over a rock underneath. And there's the good soil that's full of weeds and thorns, and the good soil that's prepared for the seed. And also, with all four of those conditions, there are three actions that are happening. God is speaking. His word is being scattered in that heart somehow. God is speaking. Satan is, the second action is Satan is opposing somehow. And the third action, you are choosing. And so with that perspective in mind, let's this morning look at the first two hearts. And each of them is a hardened heart. A farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Listen then to what the parable means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, Palestine of Jesus' day had few roads like we think of today. Rome was famous for its road building, and so they built roads many miles, actually just paved with stone, so they could move the armies fast. But those were few and far beyond, in between. They did build some in Palestine. And there were also trade routes that had long been used. Jesus is not talking about those roads. He's talking about the pathways. Pathways between towns, between neighbors, and so on. These pathways just wandered around the country, often through people's fields or alongside fields. Many of those pathways would have been very ancient, perhaps even thousands of years old, with thousands of countless feet and countless animals just beating those paths down, always going on the same place. And so they would plant their crops right up to the pathway, just like you see in the picture here. And we have a picture of this on the Sabbath. The disciples and Jesus are walking through the fields on a pathway, and as they went, they're literally just as they walk, because it's narrow and the crop is right up, you could just strip the heads of the grain off in your hand and rub it out and eat it. And that's what they were doing, and they were being condemned for doing that on the Sabbath. Now, the farmers typically didn't plow up these pathways. It was too hard. It would have been useless if they had, because if they had done the work to plow them up, people would just beat it down again. And if you did try to plow it up, you have a light wooden plow with an iron plowshare on the bottom, they would just skip up out of the ground. And so as a farmer, if you had a pathway going through your field, you just left it alone. You plowed up to it. You plowed beside it. And seeding was done differently then too. Today, if a farmer tried to put seed into the road, if you saw him going down with his seed drill along the road and he had it down and he was trying to seed, you'd say he's lost it. Something's wrong. But they didn't have seed drills. They had to just take it by hand and scatter it, as you saw Jesus illustrating it there in that video. And in scattering it, if you're going to scatter it up to the edge of the pathway, some of that seed is going to fall on the pathway. After scattering the seed, they drag some form of harrow across the soil and cover it over, except for, of course, the seed on the hard path. And the birds loved it. It was free lunch for them. And so when Jesus spoke this parable, he didn't have to explain the picture. Everyone saw it happening every year of their lives. And the application, Jesus says, the hard path that resists the plow that is ignored, and the seed just lands on top and can't go into that soil, is someone's heart. And the seed is the word of God. And the birds that come and eat it are the devil. The devil is doing everything he can to keep the word of God from being effective in your hearts. the point. It's possible to be hardened to the point where the Word of God cannot penetrate our hearts and have any effect in our lives. We can be hardened to that point. Like seed on a hard path that can't penetrate the soil. The Word of God cannot penetrate the soil of that person's heart and cannot bear fruit. When we're like that, we lose interest in the Word of God. It becomes boring to us. It no longer speaks. It no longer convicts. It no longer comforts. We also lose interest in prayer. We don't want to change. We might hate the effects of our sin, but we don't want to change. And I've seen this so many times where people, they want to get rid of the pain in their lives, but they don't want to change their lives. And that doesn't work. Their heart is hard. Usually this person will often drop away from church. They quit attending. It's no longer meaningful to them. Some will still come out of habit, or they come for the social aspect. Others even come for power. They look for power in church, in positions, and so on. But even if they're still attending church, their lives are unchanging. They don't have a current story to tell of how God is changing them, or how God is alive and well in their hearts, how God is speaking. This person will often avoid settings where they may face conviction or confrontation about their sin. And then there's the other type of hard heart, and that's the rocky soil. When I was farming, my brother and I, we rented some rocky soil, half section of it. We spent hours out there picking rocks, and there was no end to those rocks. But the soil was rich, and it produced great crops, and that's why we rented it. That's not the type of rocky soil that Jesus is talking about here. You need to think of bedrock or large rocks with just a thin layer of soil over top of the rock. This is not rock that you can go pick up. It's there. It's permanent. And it's almost at the surface. And so that thin layer of soil, as the farmer cultivates the whole field, he cultivates over that area also. And that thin layer of soil is soft, and it accepts the seed. And when the harrows are taken over it, it'll cover the seed, and that seed will germinate. And it quickly germinates, and it grows. But then the sun, Jesus said, gets hot, and it dries out that thin layer of soil, and the new plants quickly wilt and die. With this person, there's a softness, both a softness and a hardness to their heart. There's a softness towards the Word of God. They gladly hear it. They respond quickly to the Word of God. These are often the first to repent of their sins. They're quick to be convicted. They're often the first up at an altar call. They often love revival meetings. They hunger for change. And they'll be the first to testify about how God has changed them. And they can even come to love those feelings of conviction. Pastor, I just loved your message. It was so convicting. But they do nothing about it. James illustrates it in a different way. This person's like a person who looks at in the mirror in the morning. They see what needs to be done, and then they just go on their day. They don't wash their face or comb their hair. They don't do what needs to be done. They see, but there's no change. Sometimes there's quick change. But then the hot sun of temptation comes. And suddenly that vow they made 2 weeks before is gone, and they're right back in the old habits and the temptation that they're in. Or the hot sun of difficult circumstances, of persecution or trouble. Or the hot sun of addiction. And their quick response to the Word dries up, and the change is soon gone, and they're back to where they were. And typically you'll see in these people, they're always responding, always changing, but never growing. There's no real lasting change. Because while there's a softness deep down in their hearts, there's a hardness. Deep down in in areas of their lives, they do not allow the Word of God to penetrate. There are areas that are off limits, perhaps areas that they've built walls around certain things, around certain thoughts, around certain addictions or certain circumstances, and they never allow the Word of God to penetrate into those areas. They only allow it to penetrate where they want it to penetrate. And so the change never is lasting. So where does hardness come from? First thing I want to say, it is our natural condition. We're all sinners. We're born that way. And we choose to harden our hearts because we choose according to our natural condition. Every time you choose to harden your heart, you're not choosing according to your new life that God has given you. You're choosing according to that old natural condition. Pharaoh. The Pharaoh who ruled when God delivered the Israelites is a good example of this. The word of God had been brought to Pharaoh. He knew very clearly that God was speaking. It had been brought directly by Moses and Aaron. And before Moses goes to talk to Pharaoh, God tells him, I'm going to harden his heart. But for the first five plagues, it doesn't say God hardened his heart. For the first five plagues, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then after that, it starts to add in, God hardened his heart. And I believe what we have here is Pharaoh's choosing out of his old nature. He knows the word of God. He knows what is the truth. But he chose to harden his heart. And so God, knowing that, said, okay, if you're going to choose to harden your heart, then I'm going to even harden it further. We're going to harden it to the point where it's ridiculous, to where even his counselors were begging him to soften his heart. Hardness is ultimately a choice. Coming out of that natural resistance to God and to His Word, it's choosing to continue in our own pride and arrogance. We want our way, we want our sin. We believe that our own way will be better than God's way. But even if we know that our own way is not better, we still want our own way. And that's the heart of rebellion. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I still want my own way. And so it comes out of that. Out of our natural condition. Hardness of heart often also comes in response to circumstances. In El Salvador, a number of years ago, a young girl, her father was a member of a gang, and one day he was murdered by a member of a rival gang. Life went downhill from there. Her mother virtually abandoned the girl to raise herself. Mom was hardly ever at home. As a young girl, one day she came across a homeless man and living in a park near her home. He had had one leg amputated, and he was sleeping on a bench there at nights. She began to care for him, taking him food and other things. And one day her mother caught her feeding the man, and she grabbed the girl by her arm and just hurried her home, and there she severely beat her daughter, and she beat her. She kept saying to her, "Don't you know who he is? That's the man who killed your father." And as she beat her daughter, she told her, there's one thing you need to remember if you want to survive in this world, never, ever love. And in that beating, the young girl made a choice. She was going to harden her heart and never, ever love. She turned a teenager. She joined a gang. There she met a young man, and she went back on her vow. She loved him, and she bore his child. But her criminal life caught up with her. She was placed in jail. He abandoned her, and her child was taken away. And again, she determined that she was never, ever going to love. She would harden her heart. Her anger and her hatred at the world grew. She was still only 16 years old when they let her out of jail. This time, she decided that she was going to find her father's killer, and she was going to kill him. He was still there, still in that park. Found him on the same bench. She walked up to him and pulled out a revolver, pushed it against his temple, and put her finger on the trigger. Later, as she told her story, she said, "I don't know why. I just couldn't do it." So she spat in his face and walked away. Eventually, she ended up in jail again, and there she told her story to a chaplain. Bad circumstances are often times when we harden our hearts. And in the circumstance we choose to harden our hearts, Because choosing to harden our hearts seems to be a way of protecting ourselves from further hurt. And so we put up walls of anger or walls of unforgiveness as forms of protection. And this is why you can have two people with very similar bad circumstances, and yet they end up so different from each other. Because one uses their circumstance as a choice, a chance to soften their hearts, and the other one uses the same circumstance as a time to harden their hearts. Third reason why we harden our hearts, and we've already talked about this, but the lies which we've internalized harden our hearts. We talked about that back in the fall. And I told you the story of the man whose father and mother always put him down, constantly telling him that he was worthless, and they abused him in so many ways. And he's been a Christian most of his life, and he knows the truth of how God loves him and accepts him. He knows about the value that God has placed on him in Jesus Christ. He's a genuine believer, and yet he cannot accept that love from God. He cannot believe it and act upon it, because the lie that he has chosen to believe has hardened his heart. And the Word of God, while it can penetrate other areas of his life, he won't allow it to penetrate that area of his life. So soft towards God. He was so soft. He loves God. And yet there's a part of his heart that is hardened. And every time the Word of God comes to that part of his heart, it just dies out. And then, of course, as Jesus said, there's Satan. Like birds coming and taking it away. And we don't have time for that this morning, but Satan will do everything he can to take the Word of God away from your heart. Whether it's busyness, lies, false teaching, wrong priorities, on it goes. The list is endless. But anything that causes you to reject and dismiss the Word of God, Satan will use in your life if he can, in order to harden your heart. So what is hardness of heart? Well, if you go to a dictionary, it says a hardened heart is one that is cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. And so in this context, what Jesus is talking about, we could say it's cold towards God, it's insensitive towards God, it's unfeeling towards God, it's unyielding towards God. Hardened means that you shut out unwanted influences. And so an example of this is when a person doesn't want to read their Bible because they want to follow their own desires. You know, over the years I've heard this time and time again, where someone doesn't want to go and read this because they want to pursue a choice that they know this will speak against. Maybe they want to pursue a divorce and remarriage, so they don't want to look what Scripture says. Or alcohol has taken over their life, and they don't want to look what Scripture says. Or anger dominates their life. They don't want to look what Scripture says. And if you try to speak about sin in their lives, right away their response is, don't judge me. And they'll usually say, the Bible says, don't judge me. But they don't want to go to the Bible and find out what it says about their sin. And when we harden our hearts against God, it dulls our ability to perceive and understand spiritual things. And in Mark 8, 6 through 21, it tells the story of a different time where Jesus fed a crowd. The first parable that we had, I talked about, was the 5,000. This is the 4,000. And there he multiplies 7 loaves of bread and few fish into a meal for them all. And after the meal, the Pharisees, they've just seen this, and literally before they'd seen dead raised, they'd seen all sorts of miracles, and now they've just seen another miracle where he takes just a lunch and he feeds 4,000 people. And they begin to press him and poke at him. Come on, show us a miracle. Show us a sign that proves you are who you are. And Jesus gets a little vexed with them, and he leaves them. And he gets into a boat, and they're crossing to the other side. And as they're going across, the disciples, they had picked up some leftover food, and they realized they had left it behind, and all they have is one little loaf of bread. And they begin to wonder how they're going to eat, and they've just seen Jesus multiply a little lunch into feeding 4,000. They have one little loaf of bread in there. How are we going to eat? And Jesus says to them, be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The yeast of them was they had a hardened heart. They had a heart of unbelief. And watch out that you don't become like them. And they totally miss what he's saying. Their thoughts are totally on their empty stomachs. And so they begin to discuss with each other, it's because we have no bread. And so Jesus said, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not still see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And why don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 7. And he said to him, do you still not understand? And there's some interesting points that Jesus brings out of here. When your heart is hard, you're unable to perceive. You're unable to understand. You're unable to see. They had just seen his ability to take care of them, and here they're arguing about how they're going to survive. That's what happens when our heart is hardened. We no longer can see as we should see. Up to the invention of the telescope, ancient people thought that the Milky Way was some kind of space cloud out there. They didn't realize it was just a multitude of clouds, or of stars. Galileo didn't invent the telescope, but he took the idea and he perfected it beyond what had been done, and he discovered that the Milky Way was actually stars. And there's many people in our world today, they grow up not being able to see the Milky Way because of the light pollution from the city that they live in. And it just blocks out most of the stars. And Los Angeles, California, in 1994, was hit with an earthquake, and it caused the power to go out across the city, and it woke many of the people up. And as they stepped out of their doors, they saw something in the night sky that they'd never seen before. A silvery cloud going across that seemed to hover over the city. People began to call 911 to report this cloud. They just thought it was something weird was going on. They needed to report this. And they were told not to be concerned. They were only seeing the Milky Way. You see, they woke up that night and it was totally dark with the power gone out. They could see. They saw the Milky Way, but they couldn't perceive or understand what they were seeing because it was outside their realm of experience or understanding. And like that, the disciples, they could see the miracles that Jesus did, but they could not perceive or understand the significance that it meant to them in their lives. The significance that they could rest in confidence in Jesus to care for them and provide. And so they were seen, but not really seen, and unable to understand and unable to see. The fourth thing that Jesus said, when you have a hard heart, is you're unable to hear. Many years ago, Esther's parents had bought a place at Armstrong, B.C., in a beautiful little valley with a creek running through their property. There was a problem for visitors, though. The railway track ran right alongside their yard. And so at night, you'd be sound asleep, and then things would start to rumble, and the house would start to shake, and then the whistle of the train as it neared the crossing. And for us, it was just impossible to sleep. We asked them how they did it. What train? We don't hear the train. We just sleep. But you know, if you stayed there a few nights, pretty soon you didn't hear the train either. You simply tuned it out. And that's what Jesus is saying here. When you harden your heart, you become unable to hear. You stop hearing the voice of God. And the fifth thing Jesus said is you are unable to remember. he just did the miracle. They get into the boat and they're crossing the lake, and they've already forgotten all about the miracle. They're just living in the here and now, and they're unable to remember what God has done in their lives. And this is what happens to the person with a hard heart. He says he begins to no longer think about how God used to speak to me. He no longer remembers how God worked in my life. He doesn't remember the blessings. He doesn't remember God's truth. Yet the amazing thing, they can all remember the stats of the NHL, but they can't remember what God has done. It's like they become spiritually blind and deaf. And the Word of God no longer excites them. It becomes boring. The Word of God, things of God no longer draw them. They have an indifference. Serving others is no longer a priority. They have a self-centeredness. Prayer is unnecessary except in times of crisis. And their walk with God, if they are trying to walk with God, just becomes mechanical. Passion's hard to come by. And often they build walls around their heart to protect themselves. Now the good news is that hard hearts can be changed, and we're going to be talking about that next week. But this morning I would just like you, as we end the 1 year and we're going into a new year, I'd like you to do a heart checkup. Several years ago at Valley View, I got sick with the flu, and I've never experienced it quite like that before. I literally could not keep any fluids down. I'd take a drink and it would immediately come up, and this just went on for far too long, and I was becoming very dehydrated, and I knew I was dehydrated. And then I began to have all the symptoms of a heart attack. And I just put the two together in my mind. I know I'm dehydrated. I wonder if that can cause symptoms of a heart attack. So I Googled it, and sure enough, it can. But when you have dehydration to the point that it can give you the symptoms of a heart attack, or if you're having a heart attack, either way, you better go to the hospital. So I told Esther, take me to the hospital. And I gave them my self-diagnosis, and they said, you're probably right, but we have to check your heart out. And so they gave me a good thorough checking out, and they had put me on the IV to rehydrate me. But the report was, your heart is good. You know, that's always good news. Your heart is good. You know, it's good for us spiritually to do a heart checkup every now and then. And I'd love for every one of you to hear back, your heart is good. But if it's not good, it's far more important that you do something about your spiritual heart than it is even your physical heart. So how's your heart this morning? I encourage you to do a heart checkup. And if you're not willing, and if you're resistant to doing a heart checkup, then you know right away you have a hard heart. Let's pray together. Father,